right. Matthew chapter 6, and a very appropriate passage, I think, for the times that we are in right now, because it's Jesus' wisdom for the worried. So Matthew 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 25, down through the end of the chapter. And by the time we get done with this message, we'll be two-thirds of the way through the Sermon on the Mount, because it's chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. So Matthew 6 and verse number 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we are grateful for your words of wisdom and comfort to us, and we confess that we need them. We are prone to worry about what we need and what we want and what's going on. And certainly times of instability and uncertainty heighten our worry. And God, we pray that you might use this passage to instead heighten our dependence and faith in you. That the more uncertain things become, the more certain we would become that you are good, and that you are in control, and that you are working things together for good, and we can trust you. God, we pray that as our situation becomes more confusing, that our faith would become more profound. Lord, that we might hear your words and believe them and be strengthened and encouraged by them. Lord, we pray that you might use your word today to fill our hearts with faith and joy and confidence in you, that we'd be focused on the right things, and we'd be focused on you. And so, God, we ask you to help us. We pray for those who are sick today or who are struggling in some way and are unable to be here with us. Lord, we pray that you would watch over them. We pray you'd strengthen them. Lord, we continue to pray for Laura and ask that you would strengthen her body after this lung transplant, that you would bless her, Lord, as she recovers and heals, that her body would continue to accept this new organ. And what an amazing thing it is to me, Lord. I just pray that you continue to strengthen and help her. I pray you be with those who are suffering today, that you would give them strength and help. I pray for those who are here with us today, that you might use this time of fellowship and singing together to encourage our hearts to worship you and love you throughout the week. And we pray for those who are watching at home and ask God that you would help them right now to focus their attention on you and to be helped and strengthened by your word. And Lord, I pray that you might guide me as I preach this message, Lord, and as I try to live this message, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. This passage is a powerful one. But one of the saddest things is that we as Christians would live beneath the privileges that we have in Christ. That we would live beneath the blessings that we have. And I'm not saying here that you need to be wealthy and rich, and those are the privileges I'm talking about. Those are nice privileges, but I'm talking about the joy and the freedom and the satisfaction that we find in Jesus, the comfort that we find in Him. We don't have to run around full of fear and anxiety like there's no God and like He's not doing anything. No, we have great privileges in Christ. We should not muddle through life fearful. We should go through life confidently with our faith in God. Our life should not be filled with anxiety and uncertainty and doubts and worries. This is not God's will for us. You're living beneath your privileges when you walk around like that. Many folks today are paralyzed with doubt and fear. And I think this is such an important passage to answer those questions. People wonder, what is God doing right now? What is going on? What is my role? Do I even have a role to play? Can I trust God in this season of my life or in these circumstances? Now, what about my problems? If other people only knew what I had to face each day, how can I make it through? Well, these are not new problems. There might be new circumstances right now with viruses and things going on in our country, but they're not new problems. They're the same kind of questions people were asking in Jesus' day, and they're the same kind of questions that He answers right here. So I think there's a lot of help for us today. This is perhaps the most famous passage in the Bible on the subject of worry and anxiety and on the importance of trusting God. But I want to distinguish here, before we jump into what Jesus says, I want to distinguish between being full of anxiety and being concerned about the things that you should be concerned about. Because there is a difference, isn't there? To say, well, I'm not going to be anxious doesn't mean you shouldn't worry about anything. That sounds weird, doesn't it? It doesn't mean you shouldn't think about anything or care about anything or plan or prepare. Jesus is not forbidding here forethought and planning. In fact, we're encouraged to do that. A passage in James, though, tells us we shouldn't make our plans without consideration of God. James 4, 13 through 17 talks about that and says we ought to say, we're going to do this, God willing. The idea is that we make our plans, but in all of it, we are in dependence on God, and we're trusting in God each step of the way. And Jesus is not forbidding being concerned about things that are important. You should be concerned about paying your bills. It's a very important thing to do. Jesus is not saying, just don't worry about it. Let it all go. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus is also not forbidding working very hard to take care of things that need to be taken care of. Paul would write in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that the person who doesn't work shouldn't eat. So there is a very real need to work hard to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. But that, again, is not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not forbidding about being very careful to take care of our family or to take care of others or to meet the needs of others. So what then is the difference between a proper concern and worry and sinful anxiety? I think that's a really important question. And I don't have a one-liner answer for you. But what I do have is I do have what Jesus describes in this passage, and the way He describes worry and what we should do instead, I think will help us to see the difference between being concerned about what's important and being full of anxiety when we shouldn't be. So there are three key reminders in this passage that will give us wisdom during times of worry. And they're really pretty simple. In verses 25 and 26, the reminder for us is this: remember what is important. In times of uncertainty, in times of anxiety, remember what's important. Notice what Jesus says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than clothing? So he kind of gives a statement, and it starts off with the word therefore, you know, which tells you it's connected with what he's been saying before. And of course, this entire Sermon on the Mount is connected. He's just got through talking about possessions. Remember that last week, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? And then he concluded with a statement saying, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have your devotion be on God and on stuff. And so then he rolls right into this idea of worry. Because what happens when we worry? Usually we have our devotion on the wrong thing. I think it's a key distinction between a proper concern and a fear and an anxiety. A proper concern is to focus on what's important. But what Jesus is saying is the most important stuff is not actually stuff. He says, isn't your life more than eating and drinking? Isn't there more to who you are and what you're supposed to be than just what lunch is going to be? Obviously it is. Obviously there's things that are more important than just what we consume. And yet, what is the cause of most of our worries and anxieties? For many people, it's things. It's stuff. It's possessions. It's the provisions that we need. Jesus says here, isn't life more than that? I think it's interesting how he ties it with what he just said by saying, therefore, I say to you. Because when we worry about the wrong things, what we do is we devote ourselves to the wrong things. We give attention to stuff that only belongs to God. In this way, worry can really be idolatrous. Because what do you do when you worry about something? I did this just yesterday. Right when I'm preparing to preach about worry, I was full of worry. And you know what I was doing? I was thinking about the situation so much that I couldn't think about other stuff. I was thinking about a problem so much that I was consumed with it. And that's exactly what Jesus forbids. Because who deserves all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind? Is it our worry or is it our God? And isn't the great commandment to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind? And yet when we get filled with worry, what consumes us? It's usually not God. It's our problem. It's our thing that we need to get done, or it's what we're afraid might happen, and we get consumed with the wrong thing. So again, we're not saying it's not important to realize, hey, I need to provide for my family, and I need to plan, and I need to do this, and I need to work hard at it. But when our devotion goes away from God and to be consumed with our stuff, that's when we got on the wrong track. And that's when Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. Remember what is important. Another way to look at this is when you worry, you become a slave to whatever it is that you are so concerned about. Your life becomes in bondage to that issue. Your thinking is captivated by it. Your mind is dominated by it. And to the extent then that you're a slave to another, you're not the slave to God. So Jesus says, look, it's important to eat and drink. You can't survive without them. But life is bigger than that. What important thing are we neglecting when we get consumed with worry? What important thing are we neglecting? You know, when we get troubled in our family about a situation that's going on, are we neglecting seeking God together? Are we neglecting praying? Are we neglecting worshiping? Are we neglecting being kind to one another? Isn't that what happens when we get worried and full of anxiety? We get quick to snap at one another, quick to get upset. And then what are we doing? We're allowing this fear, this anxiety, to have us devoted to the wrong thing so much that we are neglecting what's really important, that we would love God, that we would love our family, love our neighbor as ourselves. So it's a wrong devotion. And Jesus says, remember what's important. Stuff should not get all your attention. It's also a wrong decision. Look at verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus follows the same pattern he did in the last verse. He makes a statement, and then he asks a question. And here the statement is, God takes care of the animals. Aren't you more valuable than that? What's really important to you? What's really important to God? When we get full of anxiety, we forget and we live beneath our privilege as the children of God, that we are valuable to God. It's our tendency when things are going wrong to think God has forgotten us and to wonder why he isn't caring, why isn't helping, where are you? And Jesus says, look, the birds have what they need, and it's because of the Father. And you are more valuable than that. You may not see exactly how God is working. You may wonder about it, but he is caring for his own. He does. Our life is more important than the food and drink that sustains it. And our bodies are more important than the clothing which covers them. What we wear and what we eat are of small importance in comparison to who we are. And Jesus values that. If God takes care of the lesser thing, our body and its needs, can we not trust him with greater things? Or if he takes care of our life and sustains it, can we not trust him with food and clothing and these other things? Remembering what is important to you, what is important to God. Worrying is unworthy of those who are God's children, created in his image. You know, no animal is made in the image of God. It's one of the unique things about man. Now, we might have some characteristics that are similar with monkeys and apes, and that has led some to speculate that we came from them. But scripture is very clear about this. We didn't evolve from something else. We're not just a little better monkey than the last one. We are a special creation of God made in his image. And it makes us different than everything else in the world. And so no animal can lay claim to saying, I am made in God's image. And yet God watches over all of them. It'd be the equivalent of saying, if I am able, if I have enough wealth and care to take care of all of your needs here in our church, sorry, you're watching at home, can't help you, all of you here in our church, then wouldn't it be obvious that that would include my children? Wouldn't it be obvious that they could know that I would take care of them? And God's saying, look, if I care for all these animals, even the fields he talks about later in the passage, that they sprout up and then they're gone in a hurry. If God is concerned in taking care of all that, remember, you are so much more than that to God. You don't have to run around in fear. Instead, focus on what's important. Don't let your anxieties lead you to neglect your responsibilities to love God and love one another. Don't be devoted to your fears. Be devoted to your Father. And verse 27 is an interesting question by Jesus, and it leads us to our next reminder here. We want to remember what's important, and then we want to remember who is in control. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, a cubit is about a foot and a half. So how many of you can worry yourself taller? Anybody when you were a kid try to make yourself taller? I did that. I wanted to be taller because all the way until about eighth grade, I was pretty much the shortest kid in my classes all the way growing up. There was one other boy named John. We were like in competition for shortest kid in the grade all the way growing up. And I always wanted to be taller. I tried to stretch myself. I wondered if I could hang from the monkey bars, you know, in just a long time, if that would work. But none of that works. You know, just kids being silly, it doesn't work. You can't worry yourself taller. That's not something you have control over. And you say, well, I can eat healthy and I can sure you can. But you can't control growing taller. You don't have the ability to say, well, I'm only 5'11", I'm just below 6 feet, and I'm going to will myself up there to be 6 feet. You just can't do it. When we worry, here's what we need to remember. Who is in control? Jesus' first question that we just read is designed to say, it's not you. You're not the one that's in control. You're not the one who ultimately makes things happen. Yeah, you might have a responsibility. If you, as a young child, you don't eat proper nutrition, you won't grow as tall as you could grow, but you won't grow at all without God. You're not the one in charge of that, in control of it. So often we get gripped with anxiety because we forget who's in control. We think it all depends on us. Now, do we have responsibility? Yes. I'm not discounting that. Like Jesus said earlier, or like Paul said, that I quoted earlier, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So yes, there's a responsibility to do something. I mean, God rarely just drops food out of heaven for people. Usually we have to work for it. Even him caring for the birds of the field, God doesn't just drop worms in the bird's nest every day. But he's provided the things in nature that they need that they can go and gather and eat. But who provides those things? Well, it's God and his creation. So we have a responsibility, but we are not in control. Jesus points out here that this kind of fearful anxiety is useless. It's useless. It's just as useless as trying to worry yourself taller. We need to remember who's in control. The birds and the flowers, they don't fret and worry, and yet they enjoy God's wealth in amazing ways. Verse 28, he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Directly connected here to, you're not in control. You can't grow yourself. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. How do they grow? They don't do it by toiling and spinning. And he says, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, look, even the wealthiest man in Israel's history, maybe the wealthiest man ever that you could think of, the very best that he could do to clothe himself can't match what I can do. God says the very best that humanity can come up with is not as good as what I've come up with. God is so much greater, and he's in control. We don't have to fear or worry, because our Father, who can do better than the very best of us, has got things under control. He can be trusted. Jesus used the phrase several times with his disciples, O you of little faith. And it shows up right here in verse number 30 again. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus used that phrase four other times. Every time when he's talking about, O you of little faith, it's tied to either food or clothing or even a lifespan. So every time Jesus gets onto them for little faith, it's because they're focused on all these things that he says you don't need to worry about. He says when we get consumed with thinking that everything depends on us, we have little faith. That's why fear and anxiety are the opposite of faith. Because they're putting our faith in the wrong thing. Faith should be put in God, not in our abilities or our skills or what we can accomplish. You know, as Christians, we believe that God can save us from eternal hell because of Jesus. We believe that Jesus died and paid for our sins, and because of that, we will not spend eternity under God's wrath. We will instead spend eternity enjoying the blessings of God with him forever. We believe that he's so powerful, he can rescue us from hell, and he can put us in a place where the streets are made of gold. Why then would we worry about little things? Why then would we doubt his ability to care for us? Jesus is saying, look, you trust in God to keep you for all of eternity, and yet you do not trust him for today. You would have great confidence that he can take care of forever, and yet today be worried that he can't take care of today. We need to remember what's important. We need to remember who is in control. Because the bottom line is, worry is the fruit of a lack of faith in God. We're saying, God, I really don't believe you're competent enough to care for me. Or I don't believe you're compassionate enough to do something about my situation. I don't believe that you care about me. Therefore, you're not worthy of my trust. And it's right for me to be worried. None of us would want to say that to God, would we? But when we get consumed with the wrong things, when we get consumed with just our abilities or our inabilities, that's what we're saying. Listen, you need to remember what's important. Do the things and focus on the things that are very important. Remember that God holds you in great value. And remember, he's in control. He's in control. We can trust him. Verse 31 to 34 is our last reminder. And that is that we need to remember what is our responsibility. This goes hand in hand with a proper concern for things while avoiding a wicked worry. Worry is a characteristic of those who do not know God. Look in verse 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He says that's the attitude of the Gentiles. Now, by Gentiles, he's referring to non-Jews, but the picture here is you've got the people of God, and you've got the people who are not the people of God. So the ones who are not the people of God, that's what they are doing. Now, in the first century, they did it a lot more than we do in modern America, because they didn't have pantries full of food. Maybe not food you want to eat, but there's food there you can eat, or you can go down to the store and there's an abundance. We're not worried about a famine taking place here. We have so much. But in the first century, this is a very real thing. You're trying to survive. And what Jesus is saying is, look, this is what the ungodly do. They go through life without trust in God. So they're consumed with fears about what might happen to them. They don't believe that there is a God who's in control. They don't believe that there's a God who's made all these things, a God who cares for his own children. And so when we act like them, We are acting like people who don't have God. When we remember who God is and what He's doing, what He has done, what He's promised, then we're encouraged that we don't have to think like the ungodly. We can think like Christians. We can fight against our fears with God's promises. We should assault our anxiety with promises from God's word, because they remind us what's important. They remind us who's in control, and they remind us what our responsibility is. When you worry about what people might do to you, well, you might want to recall Romans 8:31 that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you worry about being too weak, recall 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. When you worry about future decisions, you can recall Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye. When you worry about whether God will fulfill His promises, remember Hebrews 6:18, where it says it's impossible for God to lie. When you worry about your loved ones, recall Matthew 7:11, just here on the next page, where it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? When you worry about sickness, recall Psalm 103:3, He heals all our diseases. When you worry about getting old, Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age, I shall be the same, and even to your graying years, I shall bear you. It says He'll be with us every step of the way, through every circumstance we face. He's leading and guiding. When you worry about failing, not having enough strength, not being good enough, remember Philippians 1 and verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't think like a pagan. Think like a Christian. This is your responsibility. This is what you and I need to focus our attention on. When we're gripped with anxiety and uncertainty, when you say, wait a minute, I need to think right here. I need to remember God's in control. I need to remember to think about what's important, to focus my attention on His promises. Instead of saying, what if this goes wrong and what if that goes wrong, I should be saying, Lord, what if You keep Your promises? What if You answer my prayers? What if You work in a way that is unexpected to me? Our responsibility is to think like a Christian and act like a Christian. Verse 33, it lets it be very clear to us, instead of spending all of our energy worrying, we need to devote ourselves to serving God. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My job, my responsibility and worry sometimes is to think like a Christian and act like a Christian, like someone who knows God. And so if I know God, then I know what's most important. What's most important is serving Him and making Him known and extending His rule in my own life and in my family and in those I have influence over. That's my job. And what does Jesus promise here? In verse 33, He's promising to us, if we will do what we're supposed to do, we don't need to worry about whether He's going to do what He's supposed to do. You know, if we will plant the seeds and we will water them and we will tend the fields, then we don't have to worry about whether the crops are going to grow. He's going to take care of that. If we will invest ourselves in trusting His word and believing His promises and living like they're true, He's going to take care of fulfilling them. If we will eat our daily meals, we don't have to worry about growing to the proper height for us. He'll take care of that. He's in control and we can trust him. We need to seek him though. Verse 33 is not a promise that if you seek God, you'll get everything you want. That's a popular theology today, a popular message that if you'll just seek God, everything will be great. That's not the promise Jesus makes here. Many of God's servants have suffered. Many of God's servants have been deprived of luxuries in life. But God always gives what is needed. And the promise of Jesus here, what are the all things he's promising? Well, they're all the things he's been talking about. What has he been talking about in this passage? He's been talking about food, clothing, drink, water. He's been talking about necessities. Verse 33 is a promise that if you will devote your life to God and to serving him, that he will give you everything you need to devote your life to him and to serve him. If you will focus on the right priorities, he will take care of your needs. You live like a Christian. Verse 34 is the final verse in this passage, and it kind of wraps it all together in an interesting way. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It sounds like something your mom might say to you, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough problems tomorrow. Just worry about today's problems. But that's what Jesus is saying. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When God promises to give us what we need, he does not promise to give us today all the food that we will ever need for our entire life. He promises to give us our daily bread. So things may seem chaotic, they may seem uncertain, but we have a sure promise that God will give us grace for each day, that God will give us supplies for each day. He doesn't promise to give us strength today to face all of the future. He promises to give us strength for today. That's why it's so important that we embrace our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to solve everything that could possibly happen in the future and just sit here today paralyzed by trying to figure it out. Our responsibility today is to think like a Christian. We have a God who's over all, who has pledged to provide for us. We have a God who's over all, who values humanity over the rest of creation because he made us in his image. He has sent his son to die for our sins. He has rescued us from eternal judgment. We may not know everything that's going to happen in the future, how every situation will be resolved, but we know that for all of eternity, it's going to be better than we could possibly ever imagine. So can't we trust him today to give us the grace that we need, to give us the provisions that we need, to help us? We can do it. We can trust him. Let's remember what's important. Let's keep our priorities on the things they should be on. Let's not get so devoted to stuff and to our fears that we lose our focus on God. Let's keep our focus on God and know that we are important to him. And he's in control. If he can run the universe, which is vastly more complex than any problem I face today, then he can help me today. We can trust him. Our job is not to solve all the problems in the world. Our job is to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, love our neighbor as ourselves. Devote ourselves to God in faith that he will supply our needs. When we get full of anxiety, we don't solve tomorrow's problems. We just ruin today. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He says, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. I think that's so true. So when we go back to how we started by saying, what's the difference between a proper concern and a fearful anxiety? Well, it comes back to what is our priority. Is our priority God and His kingdom and serving Him? Well, then our concerns are probably proper concerns. But it's so easy to slip away from our focus on God and to get consumed with other things. And that's when we cross over into fear and anxiety and a lack of faith in God. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us over and over and over in this passage. God is good, and you can trust Him. God is the most important thing. You should seek Him. If we will keep Him first, and we will be strong in our faith in Him, we have no need to worry. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 5:7, and I'll close with this verse. He says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." What a great comfort. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer today. Now, before I pray, I just want to give you a chance to do what Peter exhorted us to do, to cast our care upon Him, for He cares for you. So what struggles are you bearing today? Cast them on the Lord. If you're going through a difficult time, then there is a battle for your priorities. There's a battle for your faith. Put your faith in God. Put your devotion on Him. Take the next few moments to just talk to God about these issues. Don't just put it off to think about later. Think about it right now.